is only part of it. I want to just testify, you know, I've been serving Jesus since I was young. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5 or 6 years old. And I would even say in the last year, God has been filling my heart with joy unspeakable more and more and more. This is time the kids can be dismissed to go to junior church. And if I could invite you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3 today. God is growing each and every one of us and setting us free at a different, at a level. And I want to invite you to continue to say, more, Lord, ask, and you will receive. That's the promise of the Word of God, and that's not just words on a page that we read and say on a Sunday morning, but it's something that we live, that we confess, that we hold on to, that we live by. And God is setting each and every one of us free in a different level. And today I want to talk to you about the name that puts pep in your step. Some of us are older in age, or doesn't matter if you're younger, but you run out of, especially in this holiday season, we run out of strength and we run out of zeal and joy sometimes. And sometimes we're singing joy to the world, but then we go to our family dinner and all of a sudden that leaves, right? And we have to deal with all kinds of baggage and all kinds of troubles. But the name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's at that name that brings in the power and the anointing and the joy. And we're going to see in a moment as we read this passage, I don't even know if I could do justice or preach this today, but what is a name? A name in your name is used for everything that your name covers. When you hear the name Pastor Mike, you associate with my name a whole number of things. Right? Some good, some bad, some you're praying for me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But everything that I represent is when you say my name. When someone speaks your name, everything that you live and represent comes to mind. And when we're saying the name Jesus, we're not talking about an ordinary human being. We're talking about the Son of God here. The Son of God who went to the cross and died in our place and rose again. The Son of God who heals and delivers and sets free. That's what's associated with the name Jesus. It should never be an idle word on our tongue when we say the name Jesus. Because when we say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, all of God's glory, all of God's attributes, all of God's presence and power is associated with that. That's why it's at the name of Jesus. Demons will flee. Circumstances will change because of what the name represents. Now, Peter and John were going up to the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him and did John and said, "Look at us." And he affixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him. Now, you might wonder, there is multiple miracles that said in chapter 2. It says many signs and wonders were done at the hands of the apostles. Why mention this one? I believe it's two reasons. One, because Peter got ready to preach a great sermon that the people needed to hear. But two, right after this, persecution began to break out against the church of Jesus Christ. So as we continue to read on, let's read Peter's sermon now and what it speaks to us about the name Jesus. While he clung to Peter and John, and all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered and you denied in the presence of Pilate, and when he had decided to release him, but you denied." It sounds like this preacher's pointing his finger a little bit too much here. "The holy and righteous one, and asked for the murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised him from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus had given the man his perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise you up a prophet like me for your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who had spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days, 'You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.'" A beautiful sermon about the name of Jesus and what that means to us today. And when we look at what's going on here, let me kind of set things up for you here. The Christian, the new church, still went to the temple to pray. They had prayer at different times during the day. And this happened to be the third hour or the ninth hour of the day, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And does anybody know what happened on the cross at 3 o'clock in the afternoon during this prayer time? That's when Jesus said, "It is finished." So I want you to remember that as we launch into this passage. Just there's very powerful meaning behind all of this and why during this time God chose to heal this man. Now, he was sitting at the gate called Beautiful, and it was called Beautiful for a beautiful reason, because it was made of bronze, and it was like a landmark. If you visited Jerusalem during that time, you would go and look at the gate Beautiful, because it was beautiful. It was carved all out perfect, and he thought, his friends perhaps thought that, well, if we put him here, he's definitely going to stand out, because there's going to be a lot of people, going to be a lot of those tourists that come, and they're going to feel sorry for me, and they're going to give me money sitting at the gate Beautiful. Now, there's some more things about this gate that leads into the temple. This was in between the court of the Gentiles, where the Gentiles were allowed to worship Yahweh, God, that led into the women's part of the temple, the Jewish women. So beyond that, Gentiles couldn't go. So it was at this gate, the entrance into worship, that this man was seated. And if you could picture him, and I don't know, if you probably have seen beggars and people asking for money on the streets before, but if they're sitting, and what do? They are looking at us, right, to see if our eyes caught them. They're saying, "Could somebody help? Could you spare some change? And you spare some change." And what do? And what most people did, just like today, we didn't make eye contact. We just walked in onto our way of worship. And so there was a lot of that. He was used to that. So he was surprised and he was shocked when Peter spoke out and said, "Look at me," calling him out. There's a crowd of people going in, "Over here, guy." And you imagine his little cup started to rattle a little bit. "I'm about to cash in. I'm about to make some money here. Somebody's talking to me. They looked at me. They saw my plight. They saw my what I think I need." And as we look at this passage, the first thing I want to bring out is if we're going to be healed and changed and delivered by the power of the name of Jesus, we have to look. You notice how Peter said, "Look." But he wasn't saying, "Look at me because I'm talking to you." He was saying, "Look at me for what I'm about to tell you." Because it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that God gives us what we really need. If you want pep in your step, you have to have the right focus. So I want to ask you today, are you looking to self-medicate and just get by? Or are you looking to Jesus to heal the root of your problem? Now the man just figured, if I just get a little bit of money, I can get by and I can continue to live in my lame state. Now Luke, being a doctor, knew exactly what was going on. That's why he mentioned in detail in the step, when Peter took him by the hand, that strength came into his ankles and into his feet. Those words, ankle and feet, were rarely used in the scripture. But they're used here because Peter was a detailed doctor. He wanted people to know that there was a problem, that this man couldn't walk. His joints, his bones somehow were fused together or joined together. He couldn't move, and that's why his friends had to bring him to the gate every day. But he came looking for a temporary fix to his problem. And perhaps you came here today looking for a temporary fix to your problem. And Peter turns and he looks at him in the eyes and says an amazing statement. He says, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I have, I give you." I want to ask you today, what do you have? Peter had Jesus. He had the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I don't think the guy just immediately did that. He's like, "What's going on here?" Peter comes over and he takes him by the hands and being frozen in the ground, and he says, "Rise up and walk." And he pulls up, and as immediately, boy, it's hard to pull you up. Holly's been feeding you good, packing it in there, good. It's not my kind of, you know, weight. You know, it's well packed in there. But immediately, when he took him by the hand, those bones loose, it said Luke, he was immediately healed. And when we come to Jesus, and you remember I talked about the importance of hunger and importance of, we have to put our gaze and focus on Jesus Christ. Is your trust in money and humans or on Jesus and all that he represents? Where is your focus? What? Here's some questions to ask yourself to know. What consumes most of your time and what do you think about the most? What consumes most of your time and what do you think about the most? Now, I hope that we will start thinking more and more about Jesus, because that song we sang, "Joy Unspeakable," that's glorious. That's a wonderful place to dwell and to stay. But unfortunately, if we're really to take an account of what we spend most of our time doing and thinking about, then we wonder why all these issues are in our life. So he says here, and I think it's a clear message to us as the body of Christ today as well, is our focus needs to be on the one that meets our real needs, not what we want just to get by. There's so many Christians that live their whole Christian life in their spirituality as if, "I'm just going to get by today." Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." He doesn't say partway free. This wasn't a partway healing where he was kind of still limping. He was leaping. And I have to tell you, the Lord has been so amazing this week. God sent a woman into my office. I was studying this passage of Scripture. She had a car accident, was in braces all the way down. There's nothing more other than to keep getting shots and different things that doctors do. So she decided to go to a conference where a healing evangelist was, and she was skeptical, and she didn't really believe in that sort of thing, having grown up in a particular denomination. And I'm not going to say that, because there's some people in that denomination that believe in miracles. But she went, and she watched someone right in front of her get healed. And so she said, "Lord, if you can heal me, or if heal that woman, you can heal me too." But anyways, the Lord gives that the evangelist the word of knowledge about someone's spine and everything. And they come over, they take all of her pillows and her braces off, and she starts yelling, "It's me, it's me." She gets up, she starts running, and then she used the word leap. She said, "I started leaping, it's me, it's me, it's me, it's me." And I can't tell you what came over me, because I had just been studying this text. Here's a modern day person where Jesus healed and delivered, because he comes to meet our real need, not just to give us what to get by. And he's sovereign, and he does what he wants when he wants to do. And the second part of this today is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth results in healing and expressive praise. If you want pep in your step, you must be willing to receive what you really need. You know why there's so many lemon-sucking Christians in the church today? It's because we're all trying to get what we think we need, not what God knows what we need. When we get what God wants for us, there's going to be joy unspeakable, like this man. There's going to be people that start to come to faith in Jesus Christ like little children, running around and yelping and leaping. And when is the last time that you just leaped before the Lord? Well, none of you have had your legs broken and you've been paralyzed and then healed. That's probably why. But this man sitting in the gate for years suddenly can walk around. And you're talking in this temple, in Solomon's porch, there's these cedar beams in the place. And the place was probably crowded. And you could hear this guy praising God. "Praise Yahweh! Praise Yahweh!" echoing. And all the people all of a sudden stopped dead. Something out of the ordinary is happening in temple today, because Jesus showed up. See, we have to stop doing what just get by. We have to stop looking at the effects of the problem and get to the root of the problem. Is your heart open to receive from Jesus right now? Or are you paralyzed by fear and the need for control? And I want to say that again. Is your heart open to receive from Jesus? Or are you paralyzed with the need of fear and control? See, it's not until we get desperate like that man, and God comes and we believe in faith in the name of Jesus, that he will set us free from that fear, from that bondage. And like I said before, I've been serving Jesus for a long time, and I can say, because of the move of the Spirit of God in so many different ways, I've been more set free in a lot of areas of my life than I ever have been. And I hope that's the same for you too. Because there is a anointing and a release. Now, in a moment here, I'm going to ask you to get up and come down here and leap up and down. Did you see, if I could take a picture of the expressions on every single one of your faces right now. It was like, I leap for WVU, but you're asking me to leap for Jesus? I don't know about that. Fear came over. Why? Where is that from? That's from the evil one. That's from the devil. And I'm not going to ask you to do that. Oh, everybody's like, there's peace like a river now. That's not going to last for a long time. But it's not until Jesus gets the praise in your life that God begins to move and work and do miracles and other people get saved and set free like the church is supposed to be doing. Otherwise, it's business as usual. It's religion as usual. God wants to set you free to be all that He's called you to be in the kingdom of God. You are not lame in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You are not a frozen chosen few in the pews in Jesus' name. You are children of the Most High God. You are dignified preachers of the gospel. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not just the pastor up front or the worship leaders. He's called us all to be preachers of the gospel. Let Him loose your tongue. Let Him loose your mind to preach and live out the gospel. Now, another thing that I want you to pay attention to, and that is the word run. You know, like a child that hasn't seen her father and mother for a long time, what do? It's kind of like, oh, dad's home from the military, right? No. That child has any kind of relationship. The moment their eyes lock with their father, what do? They take off running full steam. Notice how this guy clung to Peter. It's because he wanted to hear more and he wanted to know more. What happened to me? Who is this Jesus of Nazareth? And then it says the whole place. I mean, there was a ruckus, you know, in the temple where everything was kind of dignified. The Pharisees had everything under. All of a sudden, people are running marathons across Solomon's porch to find out what's going on. We're seeing miracles and lives change in our church because people are becoming hungry. And I want to say, get more hungry for Jesus, because it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that gives us the hunger to know more of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's time for us, for me and for you, to stop making excuses. It's time to stop being spiritually lazy, because I've been spiritually lazy for a long time in my life. It's time to stop being dependent on our favorite things and people and vices. It's time to run to Jesus. It's time to run to Jesus. And we have the physical realm of the people running to show in the spiritual realm. How is your hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Revival comes when hunger comes. Hunger for the Lord, for more of the Lord. I got to get into more prayer. I got to get into more finding out this spiritual war thing. And that doesn't mean things are going to go well, because in the next chapter, guess what happened? The church got persecuted, but they were running to the Lord. It's the first thing they did. They said, well, it's time to pray again. They're telling us to stop speaking this name, Jesus. So it's time to pray again. They ran to Him. And then I want to notice your attention also to verse 11 through 16, that it's in faith, by faith, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that brings transformation and healing. If you want to have pep in your step, you must stop trusting in humans and put your trust completely in Jesus. Now, I know that's an easy phrase for me to speak and preach. You say, wow, I know that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. I know that I'm supposed to stop trusting in humans. There's a lot of scriptures that say that. But when we start to look at what's in the name Jesus, and see, that's the problem. We don't realize all that encapsulates the name Jesus. We haven't cultivated a relationship with Him. We haven't got to know the meanings of His name and what He's accomplished in the gospel. And I want you to notice that He said, guys, you're running and you're in awe and you're overwhelmed and you're just so excited as if this is something that I did myself. He says, but know this, it is through faith in the name of Jesus. And then he started to point his finger in the man that you crucified, and the man that you sent to the cross. Notice that Peter did not focus the attention on himself as the vessel for God's miracle. You know, that happens a lot in today's world, and we are tempted to do that. But when people ask us for things, they say, I don't have anything to give you but Jesus. But when we give them Jesus and we minister to them, we should never, ever draw the attention to ourselves, he said, because it's through faith in the name of Jesus. I am plugged in. It's like a electric cord. I'm plugged into the throne of God, into God himself, into God's presence. And when I unplug that, I have no power. So what happens when a miracle happens? Perhaps this is why we don't see a lot in America, because when a miracle happens in America, we start worshiping the person or the methodology or how it's done. Well, he called them up front and he had them get on their knees and raise their hands. So we're going to tell everybody to do that too. And so the miracle happened that way. And so this becomes the flesh. But he didn't draw attention himself. He didn't focus the attention even on the miracle. Notice that. Who did he focus it on? He said, you crucified Jesus, the one that God raised from the dead. He immediately went to the gospel and went to the cross of Jesus Christ. He did not focus the attention on the man even who was healed. And now all of a sudden, everybody wants to have this guy come to speak in their church because maybe some miracles will happen in my church too. That's not what it's about. It's about the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of his name. He didn't focus the attention on the man. He drew all attention to Jesus and having faith in him. And notice nestled throughout this passage, and I'm not going to go into all the details of this, but Jesus, he said, Jesus the servant. He was essentially saying Jesus who is fully man. And then he said, Jesus the holy righteous one who is fully God. And then he proclaimed the death and resurrection. And then he proclaimed the reason for Jesus' death was our sin. You know, there's a lot of trouble and trial and things that goes on today where people are saying, you know, even when the movie came out, The Passion of the Christ, and remember all that circled around this, is it the Jews' fault or is it the Romans' fault? Who crucified Jesus? But notice how he preached. He had Pilate in there. It was the Gentiles. It was the Jews. It's all of us. It is because of our sin and our wickedness that put him on the cross. And so he says this call of repentance. And I don't know about you, but I bristle a little bit. I don't like to hear the word repentance. In fact, preachers stopped using it a lot today. And they just say, oh, you just need to feel the love of God in this place and sing some warm songs and have some great music. And oh, man, I just feel so good after being at that church service. But to really feel good, to really get the living water and the joy unspeakable and full of glory, we have to repent and turn away from our wicked ways and turn to the one that can heal us. See, this message was not a passage about a guy being physically healed. It was about a guy who came to understand, and a whole crowd who came to understand the meaning of repentance, of turning to faith in the name of Jesus. Because he nestles in there and he says, repent that times of refreshing would come. There is no revival that's going to happen unless there's repentance. No revival is going to happen. We can have the greatest music and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, but if there's no repentance, there's no revival. If there's no turning to the Word of God and saying, I'm wrong and God is right, there's no revival. I don't know about you. I want times of refreshing to come into my life. I want times of refreshing to come into my life. Repentance includes turning from our sin. And that doesn't mean that, well, I'm sorry I was caught, but it means I'm sorry enough to begin to quit. I'm sorry enough to quit. I'm sorry enough to start on the journey of quitting that old habit, that old way. And it means turning to God or fleeing to God for refuge. Now, there is some very Jewishness and Hebrew culture in this preaching. Because if I was out on the road during that time riding my camel, and Terry comes around the corner on his Ford or a donkey, and we have a collision, and Terry falls off and breaks his neck, I am now a murderer, but in ignorance I'm a murderer. It was a mistake. So the Old Testament had this law thing that if you sinned by mistake or there was an accident, you could go to a city of refuge. You could go to a place until the high priest at that time died, and you could be safe and you wouldn't be stoned for committing that murder. Now notice in the text how he said you acted in ignorance. You didn't know that you were crucifying the Son of Man. He's saying flee to the city of refuge, which is the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, if we look at the Psalms and say the name of the Lord is like a strong tower, the righteous run into it and are safe. He's saying turn from sin and run and flee to the place of refuge, named Jesus. True repentance is a change of mind, heart, and will. It's a change of direction from leading our own life to letting Jesus lead. It's honestly seeing our God as God, our sin as God sees it, and immediately running to Him forever. So now that repentance thing isn't so bad, right? We're running from what is destroying our life, and we're running to the refuge, the place of safety. My deliverer, the Messiah who gave Himself for me because I crucified Him because of my sins and what I've done in ignorance and what I've done on purpose. He says, it is finished. At that ninth hour, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter touched the man and he got up and walked and understood the freedom of being healed in Jesus' name. And when we turn to God, He says, repent so that times of refreshing comes. And that word refreshing is kind of like a cooling, you know, and we can't picture that now because it's getting colder outside. But, you know, it's like in the summer when we're sweating and the air conditioning quits working. And then we jump into a nice cool shower or in the pool in the backyard. And it's just like a relief washes over us. Jesus said, he who thirsts, come to me and I'll let him drink from my springs of living water. I think that's what refreshing is, a living water sort of way. And it literally means also in the Greek, a recovery of breath. Because when we're in sin and we're following our way of wickedness, it's like we have held our breath in and we have no more oxygen to breathe and our life is falling apart. But when we repent and turn to Jesus, it's like, oh, the place of refuge, I can breathe again. And I have revival in my life. And if we look at that word even deeper, you know how glorious it's going to be when Jesus returns? He says it's that kind of refreshing. It's the blessedness of being ushered by the return of Jesus Christ. When that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes and takes us home, it is that kind of refreshing that we are called to live. That's true revival. That's true revival. And every person in this room can have this. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the singer. It's not just for brother so-and-so who seems to be on fire and shared today. It's for all of us if we would only turn from and turn to run to refuge. So will we run? Will we become a church that runs to the refuge in the arms of Jesus Christ today? You know, the irony of this all is Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. You know, shortly after this time when politics and money started to come into the church, here's something that happened. There was a commentator that wrote of Thomas Aquinas, who was a Bible scholar not far after the apostles, but there was a pope that was counting a large sum of money that they had taken from people for the church, for God. And the Pope turns to Thomas and says, the church can no longer say, silver and gold have I on loan, or I have none, because we got lots of that here now. And Thomas Aquinas turned to him and said, true, Holy Father, and neither can she now say, arise and walk. Traded money for the name of Jesus Christ and the power that that represents. Now, we need a reformation from the Reformation. We need a revival from past revivals. We need a refreshing that comes from the Spirit of God, that we don't no longer look to money or to man or the things of this world, that we look to Jesus Christ, because it's in His name and His name alone that we will walk with a pep in our step. I don't think there should be any such thing. There's Christians that suffer, that have sorrow in their life. There's Christians that endure grief, but that doesn't mean they don't walk with a pep in their step, because they have the name Jesus. Father God, remove anything that I said that wasn't of you today, God, and let your word penetrate deep into our hearts today. God, as a church, we don't want to be status quo dead Christians. We want to walk. And Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you would raise up all over in this room followers of you that will give up everything to follow you. We'll give up everything to leap with joy and bring others in the power of the gospel. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've taken the credit, when we've robbed you of your glory with the way the church, we have focused the attention on humans or other things rather than on you. Forgive us, God. We turn in repentance to you. And I don't want to leave today without giving you an opportunity, maybe where you're seated. Is there something that you need to turn from today? Is there something that you've been self-medicating this morning, this last week? And God says, I want you delivered. I want you free today in the name of Jesus. I want you to leave that at the altar. I want you to leave that before the throne. Will you do that to God? Will you give that as a gift to Him today? I want to close today by reading an old hymn that God has brought to my heart all this week and tore me up in conviction. But it's called Living for Jesus, A Life That Is True. And let's make this our prayer today. It says, Living for Jesus, A Life That Is True. Striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway, a blessing for me. Living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading and give Him my all. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. And the chorus is, O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne, my life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Would you pray that prayer today? Lord, I give you my life. I give you everything. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving your all for us. Amen and amen.